A little bit back in the day when Martin Luther was preaching, they would stand for the whole like hour service that he would give. I mean, they were just so excited to hear his word. I guess some of the excitement's worn off over the years. I don't know, you know. Hey, we're in the middle of this sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and each and every week we've been taking a look at a different one and seeing how it either applies to us or our culture. And last week we looked at some hard stuff with Thou Shalt Not Murder. Today we're going to look at one that I think is even more pervasive. And there's a couple of ways that I could have gone with this. There was obviously all the stuff that's happening in our culture with the sexual deviancy and the sinfulness of that, but there's also just the reality, and I think the video kind of points out to this, the struggle that we're having just personally. And it's not just porn, it's the infidelity. It's the struggle with our eyes just in general, and we're going to talk about how we can find some healing from that, how we can find a way forward for that. But I'll just start with this. I'll just say that whenever God gives a negative in Scripture, He always does it for a positive reason. Always. I mean, He always has a reason, and I love that. One of the first things it says to me is that God's not arbitrary. He's not just up there kind of saying this or this or this. He always has a reason behind what He asks of us, and it's not to cause us pain. It's always to protect us. You just need to have that viewpoint first and foremost, especially when it comes to this area. God just says, when you play by my rules, when you follow me, I promise you, 99% of the time, you're going to experience blessing in your life. You're going to uncomplicate your life. You're going to get rid of so much of the pain and the heartache in your life. You're going to find healing for yourselves. Just follow me. This is the best way forward for you. When you play by His rules, you always win. And that's why He says in Exodus 20, verse 14, as He's given us the top 10 things, top 10 rules of life, if you will, you shall not commit adultery. And now when I say adultery, I just don't want you to think about infidelity in the context of marriage, but I want you to think about all the sexual sin that's out there today, and all of the perversions and all the different things that are out there. Any sex outside of marriage is sexually immoral, if that makes sense. That's what God's talking about as He goes through this thing. You shall not commit adultery. And why does God say this? Why does He make this one of the rules? Well, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments, right, in the confines of family. And nothing destroys a family faster than infidelity, than adultery. So God says, this is my protection plan for you. I love you guys. I want to protect you as you go through this life. Now, I want to start with something that I think is important. My purpose of today's message is not to dredge up the past. In fact, if you confess a sin to God, it is not only forgiven by God, it's forgotten in His eyes. You die tonight and you say, about that sin I did way back in the day, He's going to say, what sin? That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. When He forgives, it's complete. He loves you so much. Receive that forgiveness today. And so if you're burdened as we go through this because of something in the past that's already been confessed and forgiven and forgotten by God, know that that guilt does not come from God but from the evil one. And just hear me say this. Don't let Satan, right? Don't let Satan confuse you. Don't let Satan condemn you for things that have already been forgiven and forgotten by God. That's the freedom of the gospel. It's the freedom of what He did for us on the cross, okay? So I want to start there because I'm going to talk about a lot of things. And my whole thing about it today is I want to talk about how it is we can go moving forward. There's something about sexual sin that just destroys. It complicates. There's nothing quite as destructive as the results, the consequences of sexual sin in my ministry that I've seen. It ravages relationships. It destroys families. It complicates selves. It is brutal in its consequence. So I want to start talking about these things, and I want to talk today about how to affair-proof your marriage. If you're not married, affair-proof your relationships. Learn to live life removed from all the sexual sin that's out there today. It's so much broader than just affair-proof in your marriage, but these are awesome steps as we go through this. Because statistics tell us, in addition to the ones that you just saw on the screen, statistics tell us from a secular magazine that over half of all non-Christian men will have an affair during the lifetime of their marriage. One out of two. For women, it's 35%. Over one out of three. And this has increased more and more from the stuff I've been looking at over the years. This is a 15-year-old study. Why do I say this has been increased over the years, the last 15 years? Because what's happened? Social media, just so you know, it has ballooned in the last 15 years. And that social media isn't anything. It's neutral, right? It's a medium. But what it's allowed is for people to get in touch with people of the past in a super easy way. For whatever reason, that's increased infidelity as people go back to their high school sweethearts or this or that. Pornography was a problem 15 years ago, But it is off the charts in terms of a problem today. There's actually addiction clinics in so many of the colleges across our country for pornography because of kids unable to study, unable to navigate life because of their addiction to porn. It's just gotten out of control. And as a result, we live in a very sex-saturated culture today. In fact, we live in just this reality where as we, as a culture, have walked away from God, it's created this situation where there's just a lot of unprincipled people out there that are ready to tempt both you and your spouse. It used to be, you say, well, I'm dating this person, and it was hands off. Or I'm married, and that was absolutely hands off. But that's not the case today. And thanks to social media and the internet just in general, that temptation is everywhere today and constant today. If you're sitting out there thinking, well, this doesn't affect me, it's not true. I mean, the statistics just show that it's not true. One out of every two divorces, they have the issue of pornography cited as one of the reasons for the divorce. The Christian number of people, 50% for guys, 20% for women that are addicted to porn in the church suggests that it's a major deal, and that's just pornography. So today we're going to take a look at what we can do to avoid going down the wrong path. And I just want you to open your hearts to this. In Hebrews 13:4, it says, marriage should be honored by all, and husbands and wife must be faithful to each other. That's great advice, right? But then he goes on and he says this, for God will judge those who are immoral and commit adultery. God's serious about this. I don't know another way to say it. Just in ministry, over since 1997, I don't want to do the math, right? But the tragedy of people that have given themselves over to this, the devastation on their families and on their person and on their kids is devastating in terms of the kinds of things that I've dealt with over the course of my ministry. This is a serious deal, and God's trying to protect us from all of this complication. He just loves you way too much to have you go through this stuff. So today we're going to be taking a look at this stuff. So how do we stay clear from sexual immorality, from going down these paths and inviting this complication into our lives? Today I'm going to talk to you about five steps to avoid temptation or to overcome temptation or to escape temptation in your life. This can apply to any sin, to be honest, but it is super relevant when it comes to this particular one. So one of the first things I want to give you today from God's word is this. We've got to make a commitment from the very beginning, and this is hard in our culture of ours. Let me just honor that. Make a commitment to keep God's standards. God loves you, right? He's communicated his will, his word to you in the Bible. It's something that he created you. He knows how you work. He knows what you need to operate well in this life, to be blessed in this life, to avoid complication in his life. He's giving you his word as a navigation, as a way forward, as something to follow as you go through this life. And one of the first things we need to do is in advance, we need to be willing to do what the Bible says. The reason I said that's hard today is because the Bible says certain things that are wrong, that are counterproductive, that are consequential, that are destructive, that our society is embracing and celebrating, right? In fact, if I were to go and share these things, these cultural things, right, in the public square, I would be ridiculed for it. But God just shares with us from the very beginning, and I'll just simplify it. All sex needs to be confined into the context of marriage. That's what he designed it for. That's where it's supposed to be. But it's an interesting thought, notion in the midst of our culture. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? And the answer is by living according to your word, O Lord. We've been hearing a lot about values and living according to values as we've been going through this series. But I think the question we need to ask, literally ask, is where are you getting your values today? Because it matters. Whose voice are you listening to? What's the authority behind the values that you have in your life? I'll give you some examples. Is it from popular opinion, right? Everybody's doing it. That seems to be the number one thing that people say. It's just culturally accepted now. Everybody's doing it. All my friends are involved in this in some way or some fashion. Or maybe it's the latest bestseller or latest podcast or latest movie that kind of pushes the fringes of what's okay. Is it Cosmo magazine? Is it Oprah, right? Is it social media? I mean, where are you getting your values as you go through life? Just as a clue, all of those would be horrible, horrible ways to go, right? But the reality is that the best and safest place to get your values in our world today is the same place it's always been. It's in consulting the creator of the universe and going to his instruction manual, the Bible, and getting from himself, right, the best way to navigate this life moving forward. It stood the test of time. It's provided guidance for thousands of years. It won't lead you wrong. So one of the first steps, no matter what the temptation, is to trust God enough to make the commitment to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to trust, even though this sounds really fun, that your way is going to end up giving me more blessing in this life, less complication in this life, less hurt in this life. I've shared this story before, but my buddy Mike, I have a good friend named Mike, and I've shared all sorts of things with him over the years. And he came to me one time, and he said, you know the number one thing that you told me that makes me know that there's a loving God? I said, what? He said, the Ten Commandments. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no. He goes, if I tried to live my life more like you've tried to live yours, I could have avoided so much of the pain in my life, so much of the destruction that I've caused in my life, so much of the heartache that I've caused in my life. Because that one thing lets me know that there's a God out there that loves me. You got to understand God's heart when he gives us these things. So we need to make a commitment to do whatever God says, whether it's right or wrong in the eyes of our buddies, whether it's culturally popular or not, that we're going to do it God's way. In fact, I've listed a bunch of verses in your notes that kind of talk about God's specific standards when it comes in relation to sex. But God says sex is to be enjoyed first and foremost in the context of marriage. That's it. That means only in marriage. That's the bottom line. Now, I know some of you are saying it in your head right now. You're thinking, I know, but if God really loved me, he'd let me do whatever I want, right? I mean, he'd let me do stuff. I mean, if he just wants me to have fun, right? He wants me to enjoy life. He wants me to be happy. If God really loved me, and I know that's a theology that's out there today, but it's crooked and it's horrible. God wants you in heaven. He also like you to be happy, but first and foremost, he wants you in heaven. And he doesn't want you to do anything to destroy yourself or complicate your life on this earth. Let me see if I can share it in a different way. How many of you guys have kids? Kind of show of hands. How many of you love your kids? It should be the same number of hands, okay? Yeah. How many of them, when they were at your house growing up, let them do whatever they wanted? No, that would be horrifying, wouldn't it? Yeah. Pamela always used to say every year she'd get some families in the preschool that never disciplined their kids yet. That would scare me to death going home to that. But we didn't let them do whatever they wanted to do. Why? Because we love them. And we were trying to protect them as they were going through life, as they were growing up. So the rules, similarly, that God gives us are to do the same thing. They're designed for our good. But the reality is, until you settle that God's word is the standard for your life, you're going to fall for anything. Because it's always going to, you know, we live in this postmodern world that kind of makes it up as it goes along. But God says, no, certain things are true. Certain things are always destructive. Certain things are always going to complicate your life. Please avoid those. Go on to the next one. The next thing he calls us to do is manage our mind. And this is sort of philosophical, but it's important to understand how Satan works, okay? You need to understand how temptation works. In James 1, verses 14 and 15, it says this. Temptation is the pull of your own evil thoughts and wishes. These thoughts lead to evil actions. In other words, he's just saying here that the battle always begins in the mind. If he gets your attention, then he gets your feelings, and then he gets your actions. That's the way he works. But I know, again, you're thinking, well, I'd never do that kind of stuff. That's crazy. It's just kind of a fantasy. It's just kind of stuff that I think about, but I never actually do it. Who are you kidding? Have you ever watched the way a salesman works? I mean, it's really ingenious. What do they try to do first? They try to get your attention, whether it's an ad on TV or a car salesman or whatever. They try to get your attention. And once they get your attention, what do they go for? Some kind of emotional connection, some kind of feeling. Hey, why don't you try the coat on, see how soft it feels? Ah, this feels nice. Or why don't you try some Rocky Road ice cream and see how good it tastes? Or how about, why don't you take it for a test drive and smell that new car smell? Why do they do that? Because they know once you get your feelings, they've got you. I keep talking about feelings and how amazing they are, and they're the spice of life. There's just always horrible decision makers. But that's the way we make decisions. Our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings create the actions. In Matthew 5:28 says, if anyone looks then at a woman lustfully, he has committed adultery in his own heart. In other words, adultery always starts in the head. It always begins up here in the thoughts, which then go to the feelings and then get you going on actions. That's why pornography is so devastating to families. Which just leads to the next one. We need to start then taking seriously this whole idea of monitoring our media intake. Again, live in this reality that we live in a sex-saturated society. We're bombarded with visual and verbal stimulation almost nonstop. In advertising, sex sells everything from bingo to batteries to bananas, right? From a magazine I was reading the other day, It says passion only in a Jeep Cherokee. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. Since when did they get the monopoly on back seats? That doesn't make any sense. But lust is a big business today. And they've done increasingly well during this shut-in time of COVID. In fact, their business models are off the charts in a positive direction right now. But it's not just that, is it? It's even with stuff like music. If you listen to the words, there's a lot of love songs out there today that really aren't love songs at all. They're lust songs, aren't they? I mean, in 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what love is. Love is patient and love is kind, right? It does not envy. It does not boast. Michigan State University did a study a few years back and said that the average teenage girl has watched 1,500 sex acts or references to sex acts by the time she graduates middle school. A teenage boy, 5 times that amount because of porn and the accessibility on the phone. And all you add just the pornography industry in general, and all that to say is we need to start monitoring our intake in a more serious way. The Bible says that the eye is the gate to the soul. In Matthew 6, 22 and 23, it says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then the whole being is full of light. But if bad, full of darkness. It's just saying that what you see is what you become. Every time you look at that screen in living color, right, on the movie or website, it goes off that screen and goes into the screen of your mind. And scientists tell us that you don't forget anything that you see. It goes into your subconscious, which I guess explains why you're praying and all of a sudden you have this weird thought in your mind and thinking, why do I have that in my thought? It's because 6 months ago, you saw it in living color on the screen or on the screen or wherever you're looking at. Psalm 101 verse 3, though, David said this, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. Guys, I'm just telling you, if you're serious about this area of your life right now, and it's if you're caught up in porn, it's destroying you. If you're caught up in infidelity, it's destroying you. If you're caught up in any of this stuff, it's destroying you. Please see me afterwards, and there's groups that can get you just some amazing help in, okay? But if you're serious about this, in a little lighter way, we've got to get serious about putting restrictions on our computers and phones. We just do. Satan just presses a button and he spirals some, not you guys, you guys are amazing, probably the first service more so, but it spirals some of you guys out of control in a negative way. Why do I encourage this? Because the Bible says that what you allow in the gate of your mind goes into your soul. It affects you, in other words. Some of you are saying, no, Pastor, I can watch this stuff. It doesn't affect me. But who are you kidding? The way you think determines the way you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. If you don't believe me, look at any of your actions and test it out. Test out how you got to the place that you got to. In 2 Timothy 2:22, then Paul says, run. Run from anything that causes you evil thoughts, but stay close to anything that makes you want to do what is right. So if you're sitting in the movie theater and you realize that what you're watching is wrong, Paul says, get up and run out. If you're looking on something at your phone and you realize it's not something as a Christian you should be watching, close it out. Get rid of it. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Again, if you're serious, you've got to start monitoring your media intake. And I know that's an inconvenience for some of you, but the reality is it's important. Refuse to eat garbage, because it's always garbage in, garbage out. What we bring into our minds eventually affects us. You want to bring intimacy back into your marriage? Stop doing the porn. I mean, that's one number one killer of intimacy in marriages right now. 1 out of 2 marriages are affected by this. Next one, minimize the opportunities for temptation. If you want to avoid a fatal attraction, and by the way, scariest movie I've ever seen in my life, then you don't allow yourself in situations where it actually happens. Amen? In Matthew 6:41, it says then this, Jesus gives us this advice, keep watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Jesus says here, keep watch and pray. Those are 2 preventative techniques. Keep watch. What does he mean by that? It means be alert, be wise, know the situations that tempt you. And so let me ask you right now, are you aware of the things that trip you up? Are you aware of the things that get you into trouble, that cause you to blow off God and pursue this? And every time you pursue this, there's either guilty feelings or there's complications in your life, or you're destroying some part of your life. Do you know the things that trip you up? It's super important to know that. Because one of the things that's just a reality today is that couples are spending less and less time together. Women working, men on business trips, women on business trips. They're just not around each other the way they used to be. So are you aware? He says, be wise, be alert, avoid certain situations. But then what happens? Satan gives you a surprise attack. All of a sudden the temptation is there. What do you do? Jesus tells us, you pray. Right there on the spot, you pray. God, help me get out of this situation. I'll give you a great example of this. Teenage boy goes to his pastor, and he says, Pastor, every night my girlfriend and I, we're going too far. You know, we go out, and then we park, and then, you know, problems happen, right? So what do I do? And the pastor says, I got a great idea. Next time you go out, you know, you have fun, and you go and park, and right after you park, you hold her by the hand, and you say, hey, let's pray. Let's pray before we do this horrible immorality before God. Let's just do that just for a few minutes. And the kid says, I can't do that, Pastor. And the pastor said, why? He said, well, we'll ruin everything. You know, I can't do that. St. Augustine once said this, Lord, deliver me from lust. Just not yet. But God says, avoid the opportunity. Choose the friends that you have very wisely. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, it says, bad company corrupts good character. Anybody over 20 disagree with that? Right? We've seen it in our lives. We know the results of it in our lives. Especially if they become influencers, we go down a path that we wouldn't otherwise have thought. In other words, minimize opportunity. So I'm going to say some bold things. It would be better for you to change jobs today than to have infidelity in your relationship. Just objectively, do you get that? Yes, it would be a complication if you walked off your job today and got a different job. Do you know how much more of a complication it would be if you destroyed your marriage? It would be better for you if you got rid of the internet completely, on your phone, at home, at the office even, than again to cheat or bring adultery into your relationships. You have no idea, unless you've been through a divorce and then you have a sense, but you have no idea of the pain and the destructiveness the dissolving a relationship causes. The feelings of betrayal, the feelings of hurt, the feelings of trust issues you're going to have now for the rest of your life, just the struggle and the difficulty. Nobody I know who's gone through a divorce has anything to say about it except that it was brutal. And God's trying to preserve you from all of that stuff. And then he goes on and gives us this one last one. Magnify the consequences. In other words, ask yourself with whatever temptation, no matter what it is or what level it is this really worth it? And I say that's an important question because temptation is incredibly short-sighted, isn't it? Especially in this area of immoral temptation. But there's enormous consequences to breaking God's laws. I've heard the hurtful cries of families, right? The damage that's been done emotionally and spiritually and relationally and mentally in those relationships. I mean, we say we break God's laws, but that's not really true. God's laws break us, right? There's consequences that he's trying to prevent from us experiencing in this life. But when we blow them off, we absolutely experience them in spades. It always causes bitterness and guilt and disillusionment and strains in relationship. It breaks fellowship with God. There was a campus pastor that would go around back in the day, Tony Campolo, and he would speak to colleges. And after the talks he would give, some kids would go up to him and they'd say inevitably, hey, I used to believe in God. So he just started asking this question. He goes, oh yeah, when did you start having sex? And they would tell him about the time. And he says, when did you stop believing in God? And it's about the same time. You can't pursue sin and pursue God at the same time. It's impossible. And if you're going to deify, make the sin your God, you have to either pretend God's not real or that he doesn't care. And in our world, you're seeing both done in aggressive fashion. But God is... In 1 Thessalonians 4:3 and 6, he says this. This is God's will for you. He wants you to be holy and completely free from immorality. The Lord will punish those who do wrong. He's just saying that it's not worth it, no matter what you think in the moment. It's not worth it pursuing this direction in your life. But I know there's guys out there and girls are saying, yeah, I know people that are doing this, and they're getting away scot-free, Pastor. I don't think it's as big a deal as you think. And I know it may seem that way, but God doesn't settle all accounts in 30 days. But the scripture does say this, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will eventually reap. I've seen it in the counseling sessions over the last 17, 18 years of ministry. Or no, it's longer than that, 97. What I sow, I will reap inevitably in my life. It's just a matter of time. Some of you are saying, I wish I would have heard this 10 years ago. Me too. If it would have saved you from any of this pain. But if that's where you are today, I just need you to hear this too, that you are forgiven because of Jesus. each of these commandments we go through share a way in life that helps us avoid the pain. But hear me say this, if you've confessed this stuff to Jesus, you are forgiven in his name. There is a forgiveness in Christ for you today, the ability to start over today. Christ comes and he washes you clean of all the guilt and all the past and all the hurt. He doesn't take away the kid that you had out of a child walk. He doesn't take away the circumstances, but he gives you the strength anew to not be encumbered by the guilt, not be manipulated by the guilt, not be just horrified by the guilt, but instead to give the strength of freedom to move forward. Reality is, it doesn't matter so much as where you've been in life. And I know that's a hard concept, but Jesus can forgive where you've been. It matters where you're going, where your feet are pointed right now. And so I challenge you, starting today, say, I want to be a person of purity. Man, can you even say that? Do you see how pervasive this stuff is in our culture? Can you even say that? I want to be a person of purity. So ask forgiveness for the past. Receive forgiveness. Offer forgiveness to those who hurt you, and then move on with God. For that forgiveness is real, and your conscience can be cleared and cleansed. And so if you're a teenager today, right, my encouragement to you is simply this. Wait for God's best. Save yourself for marriage. You will save yourself so many complications if you'll do this. I promise you. I've talked to hundreds of kids. I used to do ministry. Hundreds of kids who would say that sex before marriage has caused problems with sex in marriage. Guilt and resentments and comparisons and disillusionments and hurts and bad attitudes. It screws up sex in marriage the more and more you involve yourself prior. Again, God's laws are for our benefit, not for his. And lastly, be faithful to your spouse. By the grace of God, be faithful to your spouse for the rest of your life. Why? Because you love Jesus, right? And the thought of hurting Jesus, rebelling against Jesus is horrifying to you, and you just never do it because of your love for Jesus. How about another one? Because you love your wife and kids. And the thought of hurting them in a way that upends their whole world would be too much for you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And number three, because you fear the wrath of God. I don't think we fear that at all today. But it's in his word. This is a serious issue with God. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, the man who fears the Lord shall avoid evil. And I'm telling you what, that's a healthy fear. If that fear keeps us on the straight and narrow and we can avoid this pain in our life, like my buddy said, we are blessed for it. The reality is that sex is amazing, right? It's God's gift to this earth. It really is. It is a glue that binds married people together. It is awesome. But when taken outside the confines of marriage, it just has this ability to do so much damage. I think that's why Paul warns against it the way he does. I think that's why Jesus warns it against it the way he does. I think that's why it's such a serious deal. And God wants to protect us from that. So my prayer this morning is just simply this, that you let him. And I know this is an area that you're all touched by, whether it's you personally or somebody very close to you. I pray that you'd let him, that you'd first receive the forgiveness so you can move on, but then you'd receive his healing and his strength to move forward differently. I promise you it will uncomplicate your relationships. It will make stronger your relationships with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife. It just will uncomplicate life for you, and that's a blessing. So hear me today, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, I love you so much, and I just thank you for the opportunity to talk about some of this stuff. I mean, as we go through this Ten Commandments series, each and every week, we're just confronted with this notion that we are not doing it well. We're not crushing life the way we're supposed to, and we know that because some of the stuff that we talked about condemns us, it convicts us. Unless we get too chuffed and think that it's not a deal, we can look at the weight of complication in our life, the weight of destruction in our life, the damage that we've done in our life. And how much more true is that with this particular subject of sexual sin, Lord? Our world has gone nuts pursuing every avenue possible to disobey your word. But Father, you've called us to stand on your truth. You've called us to trust you as the God who loves us, a parent who's just trying to protect us as we go through this life. So, Father, our prayer today is that you would send out your Spirit in power, that you would grab hold of us and give us the strength to resist the evil one and to follow you. And that's our prayer today. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.